Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio today with Tanya, Beth, Janelle, hello, and Beth's daughter,
Brenna,
and Miss Tara.
And Sandy.
I always forget that, don't I? last week we were in Mark and we talked about Jesus' touch, you know, and how he gives authority too with his powerful healing touch, the connection. We learned about faith in action. And today we'll be studying in Matthew 9:35 through 10:16.
That's an awesome passage.
It is.
I was just sharing with my friends that I think for myself, if you listen to me long enough, you will hear me quote portions of these, the next few, actually months worth of passages often, because they are core in defining me in my ministry. But I wanted to set the stage and remind us to just, if we were to just go back and examine just Matthew 9, because we're doing just the end portion of 9. In Matthew 9, you'll see that Jesus has prepared them for the power of forgiveness, the power over tradition, the power over death, the power over darkness, and even as one commentator said, the power over dumbness, which he's referring to the person who is mute. And I thought, boy, we could take that on a lot of levels, couldn't we? And then it ends with a culmination of the power of seeing people. I say this often, and I'll share it again. When I was young, like 23, starting off in the ministry, I was walking the halls at Houston's First Baptist in Houston, Texas, and Marion James was the preschool minister, and she was kind of my Paul, and I was her Timothy. And we were walking the halls and going in, and every preschool room, which there were a lot of classrooms, she had like 146 staff people under her, and I coordinated over 600 volunteers that served in the preschool. That's how huge this church was.
Wow.
And as we were walking door to door, I just asked her one day, I said, Marion, why do you go door to door? And she looked at me and she said, Tara, presence is powerful. And I have never been able to shake that off, because there's something about a person's physical presence in our life that we don't even have to speak. And she said, I go each week, I may not give them anything, do anything for them, but I will greet them, smile at them, and let them know I'm here. And by seeing that, it speaks volumes. And to me, when I look at this passage, what we're going to look at today, I feel like this is the culmination of Jesus showing that presence is powerful, and because he shows them the power of authority that he had, and he's setting it up because now it's to show them what they have, and he's getting ready to send them out. So that's our passage we're looking at. And so I wanted to give us that as a heads up. And so for Matthew 9, 35, and then through chapter 10, verse 16. Some commentators, so you know, will put 16 with the next section, and some say this section. But I did read this morning, one commentator said, really, it's like a hinge verse. And so we'll talk about that through the time, too. So as Jesus was traveling from towns and villages into the synagogues, he was faithful with his preaching, the good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus healed every disease and every sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion, because he could see that the people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He turned and he looked to the disciples and he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send the workers into the harvest field." So Jesus called the apostles to him, and he began to send them out, and he sent them out in twos, and he gave the apostles the authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave the apostles instructions, and he told them, "Don't go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, I want you to preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, and drive out demons. For freely you have received, so freely you must give." "Do not take gold or silver or copper in your belts. Don't take a bag for your journey, or an extra tunic, sandals, or staff, because you're a worker, and a worker is worth his keep. So as you enter the town or a village, I want you to look for the person who is worthy. And at this house, I want you to stay. Don't leave. And when you enter, give it your greeting. And if the home deserves it, let your peace rest on it. But if not, let your peace come back to you. For if the people will not welcome you or listen to the words, I want you to shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it's more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Now, the verse 16, which will be our connecting verse, it says, therefore, I want you to go and be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. Mm-hmm. May God honor the storing of his word. So, just this passage is just rich. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is rich, rich, mm-hmm. rich. And we could sit for a long time just on the Matthew 9 section. So I wanted to ask each of you, when you hear this passage, as we've just heard it, what's the first thing that comes to you? How are you impacted or influenced as you hear this passage? Just what's on your hearts? Or do you have anything on your hearts? You're all kind of quiet. How about you out there in radio land? What's on your heart?
They're deep in thought. Deep. I think the words that stick with me the most, and this is every time, I mean, I think it's repeated in other places in Scripture, but when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Mm-hmm. That's a big one, because mm-hmm. they were, in my version, it says confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Mm. That's the one that resonates with me the most. Mm.
And what translation are you using?
New Living Translation.
Okay.
Mm. I think, kind of like what Tanya said, it's something I've heard before. And it's just the way it's said here is, freely you have received, mm-hmm. freely give. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not ours. You know, we've been given. I think I forget that I've been given such a gift that mm-hmm. I need to give that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Janelle, are you pondering something?
I'm just looking at, like, I don't know. I'm putting myself in the shoes of the disciple, and Jesus giving them this amazing authority and this very serious charge to go out and be his representatives. Like, I'd be terrified to be like, I have this much power that's given to me by Christ, and it's now my responsibility to represent him. But that's what we've been given. We've been given the name of Christ. We are the representatives of Christ. And it doesn't really set or weigh on us how much power and authority we've been given, how much of a responsibility we've been given to represent Christ well with our lives.
Mm, that's good. And Sandy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, pretty much what everybody else is, too. You know, it's always like, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But then he gives these commands, you know, leave this, leave that, just go. Mm. You know, but we have to remember that when we go, when he commands us to go, he's with us. Mm-hmm. And that's why we shouldn't be afraid. And we don't need anything but him. Mm. And so that was just, they took what was necessary.
Yeah.
Clothes.
Mm. Yeah.
Otherwise, they depended on God to give them the food, the place to live and stay.
Mm. So. It's so good. I love how each of you, compassion, giving, authority, mm-hmm. the go without fear. Do you see how right mm-hmm. here each of us have been impacted with something that is critical in this passage? And for myself, and I think we opened up saying that this is so core, that the day, I remember the moment that this became like alive to me. You know how God makes a scripture alive? Mm-hmm. And I was in Brazil with Lifeway on a mission trip, and they were taking us across the border. We were actually crossing what is known to be the most dangerous bridge in the world. It's a high smuggling bridge between Brazil and Paraguay. And we each had backpacks filled with Bibles, which we weren't supposed to have cross the border, but we were. Wow. And we were crossing over, and they took us into this little area. And y'all, it was cold, and the rain was coming, and it was vendors. And I'm talking, I can't even express how tightly packed these streets were with vendors. It was nonstop of somebody selling something. Everybody had their little cart, and it was filled with all kinds of wares, people trying to sell. And they said, okay, we will see you at 1:00. Don't come back. Even if your backpack is empty, you still keep giving the gospel. We'll see you at 1:00. It was like 9 in the morning and go evangelize. And I had an interpreter, but I felt like, you know, okay, I can't really, I mean, he understands, he can interpret, but I don't really know him.
Right.
And here I'm in the street, and I'm just supposed to pick somebody. And I was panicking in my heart. I'm like, I know I've been equipped. I've been to seminary. I've got a master's. I've been trained. I know what I'm supposed to do. Uh-huh. You know, in a split second, what do I do? And I'm like, who, how, why, where, what, God. I'm like, I was like scared to death. And I heard God very clearly say into my heart, look for the people of peace. Mm. And I immediately thought of the Matthew 10 passage. And I was washed with the importance of having the compassion to look to see who was the one without a shepherd. Mm. And I was blessed in that I was given a man of God and a man of prayer as my interpreter. And Maurice, as we were walking along, and I'm praying and panicking. He has no idea I'm praying and panicking. He's thinking he's got this expert American, right. seminary trained, right. whatever. And, and he stops, and I barely even saw these women. It was actually a table filled with Walmart sheets. Walmart, Sam's, you know, all that labeled, but a huge table filled. And there was women, 5 of them, squatting down on little stools behind it because it was so cold, trying to keep out of the rain and the wind. And he says, here. And I went, here what? And he goes, we share here. Mm. Okay. So we go up, and he introduces, I've got my North American friend, and they're like, okay, and he wants to share with you the story of Jesus. And one of them says, oh, 2 weeks ago, missionaries came through. We came to know Christ. We want our friends to hear. Tell them. Mm-hmm. And we stood, and we shared. They were willing to receive the gospel, to listen. We stayed for them probably 45 minutes, 50 minutes. They ended up coming to know Christ. Mm-hmm. So 3 of them in that moment, just it was amazing. And for the first time in my life, God made this so real. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't ever want to not be a person who is looking for the people of peace. Mm-hmm. But we can't find the people of peace if it doesn't begin with Matthew 9:35 through... Right. Mm-hmm. What does it end with? I don't know what verse.
38.
Yeah, okay. So and if we don't have that section of looking at the people and seeing that they're harassed and hassled, if we cannot have that compassion that Jesus had, the rest of it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where we're going to begin, is I want us to settle in and look at what does it mean to be a person who looks at people and sees where they're at, and then is willing to go and meet their need. Because that's what he's asking. Jesus said to them, what did he tell them to do in that passage in Matthew 9? He saw the crowds were harassed and hassled, and that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he told the disciples to do something. What did he want them to do?
You're talking about pray? For workers?
Pray for the laborers. Mm-hmm. Because of why?
There's so few.
Right.
So few, but what about the harvest?
It's ready.
It's ripe.
Right. And I intended to look it up, and I didn't get it looked up. I got distracted this morning. I was going to look up and give us the number of lost people in the world.
Mm.
What is it? Does anybody know?
A lot.
I think it's like
a
80.
Lot.
I can't say it, but my brain wants to say 8 billion or something. I mean, it's just... It's huge. The number, I don't have it memorized or whatever. I'm probably wrong on that, but we need to look it up. And I should have it memorized because I've had it, but my head's not there. And huge harvest.
Yep.
Huge harvest. So as we hear this and we are hearing Jesus say this, he is speaking, yes, into the disciples in that moment. But it's a present tense moment, but he is also giving a future forward call for us, and we have to be willing to look and see the lost souls around us. I don't know about you guys, I have certain people groups in certain circumstances where I tend to go more to fear to what Sandy was talking about. And I would rather not, because I will allow fear to be my ruler instead of trusting that Christ is in me.
Absolutely.
And so this is where we have to ask for God to give us the compassion. In 2007, aside in my Bible, I prayed this verse for our family for that year, that we would become a people of compassion, that we would see the harassed and hassled and minister to them. And so I claimed that for an entire year. A good challenge if you've not taken this passage and prayed it. It's a good verse for us to pray into our lives. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you guys, I want you to think, how has God worked out this compassion of looking at the harassed and hassled?
In our lives?
Mm-hmm. What are you doing to show that?
Well, I help at Open Door Mission, you know, with the birthday blessings.
Okay.
And just being there and being Jesus to them.
Okay.
You know, like Janelle said last month, Jesus with skin on.
That's good. That's very good.
I think God's really used North Omaha to just break my heart. Yep. And the needs of so many kids there. Yep.
You know, we talk about a lot of mission trips across the city, which I always wanted to do, but I'm not going to. Obviously, I haven't been able to, but there's so many needs here in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even go very far out of your neighborhood.
No.
It's in your neighborhood, too, so
It's
always there if you look.
It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I think mine is more, you know, working for the radio station. There's a platform right there to stand on, and, you know, you go to see business owners and business people, and, you know, the first thing that grips me is, you know, okay, fear. Well, they know, or they got it. But you have to look past that and say, do they really have it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they really know? And then how to bring that up to them? You know, because if you're in somebody's presence for longer than a couple minutes, there's a reason, and he's the reason. So
That's exactly right. How about you, Janelle?
Well, I think that, I don't know, I've got two separate groups of people, and I'm from a small town, and I know a lot of people that have very small town mentality, and they can't see beyond next week's problems, and, you know, they're constantly going through relationships and constantly putting themselves through hurt and heartbreak, and I just want to help them. And then there's also, like, the people that want to be more and are kind of socially awkward that I also want to help. So both of those really weigh on me.
Those are good. That's good, because I love how it's right where you're at, and Beth's is at where she's at, and Sandy's going out of her comfort zone, and so is Tanya. We're glad you're listening, and we want you to come back, because now we're going to take it into what that might look like practically for us. God bless.